Hi everyone, Mark Connor here. Always a privilege to be able to speak at Bayside, and so looking forward to sharing with you today. Can you believe we're into July 2022, half the year's over, and we're kicking into the second half of the year, ready or not. Life is getting a little bit back to normal, if we want to call it normal, after a year or so of COVID lockdowns, but things are a little bit different too, aren't they? Got some new challenges as well as some new opportunities for each of us. Obviously, it's school holidays at the moment, which is some time off for kids and for teachers. I'm a firm believer that teachers deserve their holidays too, but a time off for kids and possibly for parents also. So I hope that everyone that's having some school holidays enjoys this period, enjoys this time. I thought this weekend with school holidays, I do a message called The Wonder of Childlikeness. The Wonder of Childlikeness. I love kids. Kids just have a great sense of humor. In fact, I've got a couple of letters that kids have written over the years. A couple of letters to God. Here's some fun ones. This is from Ella. Dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Don't you love that? Here's John. John writes to God. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with my brother. I love that. Here's another one. Charlotte, dear God, I bet it is very hard for you to love all the people everywhere in the world. There are only four people in our family and I can never do it. I love kids. Just this open innocence in the way they approach life. Here's a couple of kids' letters to pastors. I love this one. This is from Liam, age 10. Dear pastor, I'm sorry I can't put more money in the offering, but my parents didn't give me a raise in my pocket money. Could you please have a sermon about raising kids' pocket money? I love that. Here's William. William's 8 years of age. He says, dear pastor, I know God loves everybody, but he never met my sister. Here's Chloe, 11. Dear pastor, I liked your sermon on Sunday, especially when it was finished. I love kids. I just love their openness and their honesty about life. And so today we're going to look at a very interesting narrative in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. But why did you need to search? Jesus answered. Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. His mother stored all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. It's a somewhat humorous story about Joseph and Mary losing Jesus. I'm sure it wasn't humorous for them at the time. If you're a parent, if you've ever lost your child, we're talking trauma. When our kids were little, Nicole and I would often come to church in different cars for various reasons, and sometimes we'd get all the way home and there'd be a phone call, and it's the usher at the church about to lock up saying, hey, Natasha's still here. Could you come pick her up? And I'm going to Nicole, I thought you were bringing her home. And she's going, no, I thought you were bringing her home. Pretty embarrassing to leave your kid at the church building. We did that numbers of times. But I mean, come on, losing Jesus for 3 days. Can't imagine the stress and the tension that caused for Joseph and Mary. You know, we know virtually nothing about Jesus' childhood, his teenage years and his life pretty much before the age of 30 when he began his ministry. However, Luke here gives us just a few insights into Jesus as a 12-year-old. We know that Jesus grew up in a family. He eventually had other brothers and sisters, and he became a carpenter a trade that he learned from Joseph. Jesus' childhood appears to be pretty normal, like any other Jewish boy of the time. Around the age of 12, Jewish boys would have been getting ready to enter adulthood. This is well before the modern-day bar mitzvah. But again, this is a really key transition time in the life of any young boy or girl. You know, we love children. As I said, everyone loves a baby, and then they soon become toddlers with all of their incredible energy, and they grow pretty quickly. In fact, when our kids were little, we'd often come to church, and the oldies would say, "Oh, enjoy them while they're young. They grow really quickly." We laughed at the time, but you know what? They were right. They do grow quickly, and before you know it, they're off and leading their own lives and starting their own families. You know, children are known for their playfulness, their creativity, their spontaneity, their sense of wonder. And as they grow, they have incredible imaginations and they love stories. No wonder Jesus later on would say we need to become like children in order to enter God's kingdom. Notice Jesus said we should be childlike, not childish. Later on, the Apostle Paul says we should, as we grow up, put away childish things. You know, you can grow old, but not grow up. And so we want to put away childishness or childish things, but we want to never stop being childlike. We want to never lose the wonder of childlikeness and the wonderful qualities that kids demonstrate. You know, kids show us joy. They show us wonder. You know, they just have this amazing sense of adventure and excitement. And, you know, as we get older, we can often lose that. We can become a little bit negative, a little bit cynical about life. Let's not lose the sense of joy and wonder that children demonstrate. Children are very receptive and open. Have you noticed that? They're teachable. They're eager to learn and to experience new things. As we get older, sometimes we become a little less teachable. We can actually become resistant to change. In fact, one of the qualities of mature people is the ability to unlearn things. It doesn't mean forgetting things, but maybe the way we've viewed things, the way we've seen things, the way we've done things in the past, we need to unlearn that and learn some new things. Children demonstrate that teachability. And children are really honest. Have you noticed that? Emotionally honest. They express their feelings kind of unselfconsciously and quickly. And you know, as we get a little older, we can tend to maybe hold our feelings in or not be as honest. I still remember when our kids were little, we had a guest speaker at the church come and share his amazing story. We didn't realize that he was kind of into country music. And so before he shared his testimony, he got up with a guitar and sang this country western song. It was pretty average and, you know, everyone was cringing a bit. But anyway, after church, we had the guest speaker and some staff and some people around our house. And our son, Ashley, he was 12 at the time, and he greeted the speaker at the door. And his opening line was, "Great message tonight. Bummer about the song." It's like, Ashley, you know, kids are just honest. They just kind of tell it like it is. As we get older, we can, you know, kind of be a little less real, don't we? Kids also are very trusting. They have this natural ability to trust others without questioning everything. And unfortunately, as we get older, sometimes we can become a little untrusting, a little suspicious of people or everything. Kids also have an adventurous spirit. Have you noticed that? They love action-oriented activities, even if they're a little bit dangerous at times. As we get older, we can easily play it safe. We can choose to avoid risk and tend to stay in our comfort zones. I was thinking again about one of my other sons, Josiah, when he was only four or five, we went to this camp, and our youth pastor David had a little peewee motorbike there, and all the kids were having a go on this peewee motorbike around the farm area there. And Josiah says, "Oh, can I have a go, Dad?" I said, "Oh, okay, come on." And so he hopped on the peewee bike, and David's there about to explain to him, you know, where the accelerator is, where the brakes are. And just in an instant, Josiah goes, "I can do it." And he throttles it, and the peewee bike takes off. And he freezes on the bike. We're all running after him, trying to catch up to him. He hasn't had time to listen to where the brakes are. And so he goes like this, and he's flooring it, and he's heading towards a barbed wire fence on the other side of the paddock. Well, he hits the fence. Thankfully, he had his helmet on, does a couple of spins. Anyway, later on that day, he's in hospital, 5 stitches in one leg, bruises. It was a pretty traumatic time. But again, I'm not saying go ahead and just run for the barbed wire fence, but you just got to love that sense of adventure, of having a go, of stepping out of the boat, of taking a risk, as it were. Kids also have this freedom to be themselves. They're very real. They have few inhibitions. As we get older, we can tend to maybe wear a mask or try to be overly concerned about what other people think about us. And so these are some of the qualities that children demonstrate that I think we want to embrace. Let's not be negative, cynical, closed off, fake, suspicious, risk-averse people who take life too seriously. Let's embrace the wonder of childlikeness. So what can we learn from this narrative about Jesus as a 12-year-old for our lives today? What does it reveal about who God is, what he's like, and who God wants you and I to be? Just a couple of thoughts. Firstly, children can know God personally. Here's Jesus at the age of 12, and he already has a relationship with God as Father. This is close. This is personal. This is intimate. This isn't some distant, faraway God. There's this sense of closeness, intimacy that's affecting his identity, his sense of significance, even as a 12-year-old. I think that's really inspiring for us today. And for each of us, we know Jesus would grow up and later say that there's a way for all of us to know God as Father, as parent. Don't be thrown off by the male term. God is parent. Father, mother, we even have female images of God throughout the Bible. And no matter what your earthly or natural parents were like, God wants to be that perfect parent for you. And he wants you to know his love as a child. A parent's love for a child is like no other love. And God's love for you is just like that. In fact, you know, Jesus later on at the age of 30 begins his ministry with a water baptism. And as he comes out of the water, we're told that the Father bursts out of heaven and says, "That's my boy. With him I am well pleased." Can you feel the affirmation of a parent? What's amazing is Jesus hadn't preached a sermon. He hadn't healed anybody. He hadn't raised up any disciples. He hadn't done anything. All he'd done was began his ministry. And yet God the Father is affirming his love for Jesus. You know, God's love for you today is not based on how well you're doing or what you've achieved or what you've accomplished. He loves you just because you're his child. And we can know that from a very, very young age. Here's Jesus at 12, sensing that there's this closeness between him and God as Father. And you and I and every child, no matter what age we are, we can know God personally. The second insight that we gain from this particular narrative, secondly, is children can understand spiritual things. Jesus is in the temple among the teachers, the scholars, the expositors of the law and the prophets and the wisdom literature, and he's listening to them and he's asking them questions and he's giving replies. Here he is at the age of 12 and he's in deep conversation with those that are even older than him. And even at a young age, Jesus has this amazing knowledge and he's able to engage and talk about spiritual things. He values the pursuit of God and what God is up to in the world. And, you know, children, yes, they're fun and they can laugh and they can play and they can do some humorous things, but never underestimate the capacity of a child not only to know God, not only to experience God, but to engage with some of the deeper questions of life. You might have heard that funny story of a little boy drawing in Sunday school and the teacher said, "What are you drawing?" And he says, "I'm drawing God." And the teacher says, "Well, no one knows what God looks like." And the boy didn't blink and said, "Well, they will when I'm done." Yeah, kids have this confidence. They have this ability to engage with spiritual things. And so let's never lose that sense of curiosity. Let's follow Jesus. Here at 12, he's listening, he's asking questions, he's engaging with questions and thoughts. And as we get older, let's not lose that sense of curiosity. You know, G.K. Chesterton, a great writer and thinker from England, once said, "The world does not lack for wonders, but for wonder." There's no lack of wonders in the world. The only thing that's lacking is that sense of wonder, that curiosity for us to pursue not only God, but insights and mysteries about the world that he has created. And so children can know God personally. That's the first reflection. Secondly, children can understand spiritual things. Thirdly, children can know their life purpose. Here he is, Jesus, age of 12, and he already knows I need to be about my Father's business. I need to be in my Father's house. Another translation says, I need to be busying myself with my Father's work. So not only does Jesus know God personally, not only is he engaging with spiritual things, he's got a sense of purpose and calling on his life. Now, it'd be a little while. He'd have to wait another 18 years, actually, before that ministry begins. But he already knows that there's this calling to be involved with God's work in the world. And I'm sure that didn't just happen. I think this was the accumulation of maybe input from his parents, from others in the community, as well as his own self-knowledge, his own personal development. And so I want to encourage us today as a church community, children can experience a sense of calling and purpose even from a young age. You probably heard me say it before, but our mission in life is at the intersection of what we're good at, what we care about, and the needs of the world. And so even young people, even children can start to become aware of what are they good at? What are their gifts? What are their skills? What are their talents? What are their passions? And secondly, what do they care about? What are their passions? What are their interests? What are they intrigued by? And what are the needs of the world that maybe they could contribute towards? And so even for you, think back when you were a child. Who were your heroes? Who did you look up to? Who did you want to be like? What were some of your dreams? What were some of your hopes as a child? Another good question is, what did you love to do as a child? You know, sometimes the key to our future is in our past. We need to do a little bit of archaeology, kind of dig back. And when you were a kid, what did you love to do? I can think of two things for me. One is, this is back before the internet, back before mobile phones and iPads. My parents would often visit friends of theirs, and I'd go along. And if the family didn't have any kids, while the adults sat and talked adult talk, I would often sit by the bookshelf, and I loved to pull off the encyclopedias, and I would just read through the encyclopedias. You know, even as a kid, I loved books and I loved learning. And if you come to my house today, guess what? I've got a lot of books. Even on holidays, I take some books and I love to read. Can you see that seed was right back there in my childhood? Another thing I did as a kid, way back in primary school, I started writing my own book. I started writing a book called The Travel Adventures of Me and Steve. I had a neighbor named Steve, and I started writing a book before I'd ever been anywhere, been on a plane, started writing a book about our travel adventures around the world. Well, fast forward, I've been to over 30 countries. I love travel, and I love writing, written 7 books, still blogging today. Can you see right back there in my childhood with some keys to some of the things that I'm not only good at, care about, but some value that I can add to? And so what about you? What did you love to do as a kid? What were some of those early instincts that may be signposts to your future contribution? You know, for parents of teenagers, I had a youth pastor that once said this, the greatest deterrent to sin is not rules, it's vision. I'll say that again. The greatest deterrent to sin is not rules, it's vision. If a young person gets a vision for their life, you don't need to give them rules. They will discipline themselves. For instance, if you're a teenager and you want to be an Olympic athlete one day, well, you will automatically be exercising. You'll automatically be thinking about what you're eating. You'll automatically be choosing your friends wisely, because that vision of being an Olympic athlete is actually going to cause you to make decisions that'll help you get there that rules imposed upon you will never accomplish. So as a parent, that doesn't mean we don't have rules, but our greatest achievement is to help our young people, our teenagers, catch that vision of what God could do in and through their life. Once they get a vision, once they get a picture of where they could go, they'll create their own rules. They'll make their own choices. And it's a powerful thing when that happens. And so as we wrap this up today, never underestimate the capacity of children. Let's give them our attention. You know, one day Jesus was doing ministry with the 12 apostles, and these kids ran up, and the disciples said, "Oh, get those kids out of here." And you know, Jesus rebuked them. He says, "Hey, what are you doing? Let those kids come." I want to encourage you as adults. Let's be willing to stop and bend down and look into the eyes of a child. read them a story, play a game with them, ask them some questions, listen to what they have to say. What about volunteering in children's ministry or youth ministry? You know, any church that's growing and thriving today is doing children and youth ministry well. They are the future of the church. And so maybe for you today, is it starting to hang out with some 12-year-olds and stepping out of the crowd and getting involved in the amazing youth and children ministries here at Bayside or in your local community? May we as a community here at Bayside, I'm talking about parents, I'm talking about leaders, I'm talking about all of us together, if we could help children do these three things that Jesus models. Number one, help them come to know God personally. Help a child discover the reality of God. Number two, encourage them to understand spiritual things, God's perspective on life. And number three, help them discover their life purpose. And as we do that, we too will embrace the wonder of childlikeness. As a result of this, it says Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and people. And that's what we want for all of our children, all our young people as they grow up. They'll grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and people. I pray that that'll be our experience of all kids and young people related to Bayside and also for us. Come on, us big kids, us adults, may we also never lose the wonder of childlikeness. Let me pray for you. Dear God, today, school holidays, pray a blessing on all the families, all of the kids during this time. Be a great fun time of some memorable moments. For all the teachers, thank you for all the work that they do in inputting to the next generation. Refresh them, strengthen them today. For us as a church here at Bayside, thank you that Bayside values children, values young people. And I pray that we'd all be able to serve these young people and help them to know you, to engage with your perspective on life and to discover that amazing life purpose you have for them. Finally, may all of us embrace the wonder of childlikeness. Yes, let's put away childish things, childishness, but may we never lose the wonder, the joy, the excitement, the adventure of what a child models. I ask it today in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Bayside. See you next time.